I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Gavin Emmett and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast from Germany. Coming up, we've got all the protagonists from race day, as well as James Toseland, Neil Hodgson, Keith Ewan, Julian Ryder and Craig Doyle. But first, here is how the MotoGP race was won.
The cackling Honda of Marc Marquez. So many times the Germans have seen this man start from pole position. And this will be as he drops down from turn 11. From his eighth successive pole, this is going to be his eighth successive win here at the Sachsenring. King of the ring will be Marc Marquez. Jonas Folger, though, is the hero. The German will finish second at the German Grand Prix. King of the ring, Marc Marquez takes the win at Sachsenring. Easy in the end. But the hero of the day, surely, is the man in second place, Jonas Folger. And is he happy? Danny Pedrosa gets third place. That'll be your podium. Maverick Vinales a fine fourth and keeps his championship alive going into the summer break with Rossi behind him.
Good day, wasn't it?
Yeah, amazing. You know, I think all the championship leaders and contenders just really shone today. You and me in Moto3, Morbidelli Moto2, and I know it's so close in MotoGP at the moment, but Marc Marquez and Jonas Folger, the ride of the day for me, but outstanding, all three of them.
So MotoGP wasn't a packed crowd heading towards the finish line of the final lap, just really Marquez and Folger battling it out, but you felt with two to go there was a little moment, Jonas Folger riding so well, and you just felt there was a little moment where you know something, I'm going to take my medicine here, I'm going to finish second and that's okay. Tyres just given up, making the decision for him.
It was a game of 2 hours. We were talking all the way through the race in the press office there, how strong Marquez was in the first part of the track, but how much stronger Folger was down through that last section, down the waterfall. It was amazing to see. He could be half a second behind but still get back on the back of him in that penultimate corner. But if it wasn't for Folger today, it would have been a very boring race because Marquez looked like he was going to do that kind of a performance and nobody was going to even stay with him. So fair play to Jonas actually doing those lap times.
Yeah, the crowd were absolutely buzzing here because he's in the thick of the battle right from the very start. Let's go all the way back 30 laps before at the start, and what Jonas Folger said, you know something, today's going to be my day.
Yeah, he nearly spoiled it again. We heard from Hervé Poncharal that he gets a little bit nervous and he doesn't make the right decisions, and that was the case early on in the race, but then once he got 5 or 6 laps in, he settled in and he realised that the two Hondas in front of him were beatable today, and this is why he was so strong down the waterfall. Look at that speed he had down that hill, and there is not many people that can pull alongside him past Marc Marquez down that hill, and look at Marc Hervé Poncharal. You know, he was as nervous as we were watching it.
Marc Marquez, so comfortable in those situations around here. He loves this track for good reason too. He's just so happy being in a battle like that. He knows he's probably going to do the job, doesn't he?
Yeah, the race pace wasn't overly surprising. This place has all been resurfaced and they're only just at lap record pace. So I think even Jonas Folger said himself, he was surprised that they were able to pull away at the pace they were doing. But then those last two laps, I mean, Marc Marquez was only a couple of tenths off lap record pace after 28 laps on those tyres. And that's what Marquez can do. On the full lean, when it's all sliding around, he's still able to pull those lap times out.
How about Maverick Vinales? He qualified 11th yet again. had a tough time of late, but actually raced quite well, worked his way through the field.
He did, not comfortable in qualifying, but once he got settled down, the problem is with the factory Yamahas that I'm seeing, is the first half dozen laps, they have not got the pace, the race pace, to really set to, and keep with the Hondas and Jonas today. And I think this is why they may be changing the chassis, so they're quicker on the first few laps. Once they got into the rhythm with Valentino and Maverick Viñales, they were able to do similar pace to the front guys, but they're losing a lot of time at the beginning of the race.
We do have a very special guest. I will reveal him in just a moment. Before we do that, let's hear from today's race winner, Marc Márquez.
Marc isn't too bad for a special guest, though, is he? Of those eight victories you've had over the years, I'm not sure I've seen you push this hard. And the fact that it's Jonas, that must have been something of a surprise for you.
Was the toughest race in Sachsenring. I mean, last year, okay, was the flag-to-flag was very difficult, but this year the rhythm was incredible. I mean, before the race, I think everybody, even us, expect a battle between me and my teammate. But Johan was there. I was pushing a lot all the race, nearly all the laps on 21. That was a really good rhythm. And I was thinking, okay, maybe the tires will drop, but I was trying to keep the distance, trying to keep always focused at 100%. And Johan, to be a rookie rider today, he did an incredible race. But I always believe that I was able to open a small gap because I would not like to arrive in the last lap with Johan because, you know, he was in Germany and his country. So will be a last lap very tough.
And now you're back at the top of the championship as well. Going into the summer break, that's almost perfect to say this first half of the season hasn't gone well for you.
Yeah, honestly, before the Assen race, I received a message and one member of the team.
Who was it?
Santi. And he write to me, summertime, you will go to holidays with leading the championship. I didn't expect. Honestly, I say, okay, yeah. Good good to know, good motivation, yeah. You know, I didn't care, but, that means that we need to believe, we need to push, we need to be passionate all the races. We need to attack where we can, and we did. In the end, happy because in this circuit, always I felt really strong. This year was very tight with Johan, but in the end, these 25 points was important, and also Johan was important on second place because then one more rider between our opponents.
Where will you go and celebrate this over the next 4 weeks?
Of course, I go direct to holidays now.
Where
I go?
I want to avoid it.
Spain, okay. Beach. Ibiza, no, because I don't like Ibiza too much. People, some place more relaxed with all my friends. Also, we will try to recover a little bit Alex that he crashed on the race. We will celebrate. But first of all, I want to say that because it was a promise in myself that the first victory after Hayden accident, I dedicate to all his family and to him.
That's great to hear. Thank you. Marc, enjoy the summer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a great champion. He's also a great championship leader, no doubt about that. And all the crowd here, well, I'll be honest with you, they're not going to be talking about Marc Márquez. They're going to be talking about Jonas Folger, the local boy, the German lad, up on the podium today to cap off what has been an incredible first half of the season for the Tech 3 Yamaha team. And I'm delighted to say the boss of it all, Hervé Poncharal, joins us now. Hervé, well, where do we start? Because it has been a sensational 9 rounds of racing for you guys. Let's start with Jonas today. How proud are you of that young man?
I'm very proud, and I have to say that Mr. Márquez called him Johan, so he's obsessed by Zarco, but today with Jonas Folger. Outside of that, you know, as I said, you know, you need two good legs to work properly. And from the beginning of the year, although our two guys were doing really well, clearly Johan Zarco was faster, better, got better result, and for the atmosphere in the team and for our project, it was, I don't want to say problem because Jonas never gave up, but you could see that, especially in Catalonia, when he was beaten on the line by his teammate, it was difficult. And of course, we were dreaming of such a result for his home Grand Prix. And although it was tough this week because the weather was difficult, many things were quite difficult to handle. But we knew after the warm-up that a very strong race and a very strong result was possible. The only thing we were a bit uh, fearing was the start, because Jonas was never a good starter. The only time he did a good start was in Catalonia, and we could see that the result was there. So we were, and he was very tense, very stressed before the start of the race. But hopefully everything worked really well, and tonight we are really happy. You know, it's like a fairy tale. You know, rookie season, the French guy got a podium for his home Grand Prix, the German guy a podium for his home Grand Prix, so we can't ask for more.
It says an awful lot about you, though, I think, as a team boss. You like to put an arm around their shoulder, fill them full of confidence. We don't see that across the paddock. We see a lot of team bosses using pressure to try and motivate their riders. You don't go for that, do you?
Not at all. I think James knows how we work, and it will never change. You know, I like this job because I like the sport, but I also like this job because I like to share with other people. And my team is like a family, and this is why when we saw earlier in the season that Johan Zarco and Jonas Folger both fitted well in the team, in the spirit, look at that. This is a beautiful picture, and I'm really proud of this. I didn't ask Johan Zarco to come to congratulate his teammate. He did it. You know, that was his own decision. And when I saw that these two guys were really, you know, matching the way we are working, this is why we re-signed him quickly, and we are very proud, honestly, very proud, and feeling that, you know, we still have a lot of good things ahead of us.
After losing Bradley and Paul last year, could you have dreamt of podiums with two rookies from Moto2?
No, James, no. I couldn't. You know, the target, and this was not too much humility, but the target before the start of the first race was top 10. This is what we were hoping for.
If Johan Zarco was on the form that we've seen for the early part of the race, you could have very easily have two of your guys on the podium today, because he had similar pace once he got into it.
Two on the podium, I don't know, but two in the top five was a very high possibility. But we know how, you know, qualifying position is important. We know now how FP3 is crucial. Unfortunately, you know, Johan knows it was crucial. He pushed a bit too hard too early, crashed. Couldn't make it through Q2, and that was the explanation of the weekend, you know. But from a week to another, everything is changing so quickly.
Second half of the season, before I let you go, what's the new goal for the team?
You know, it's not because we have had the podium with one of each rider that we are pretentious and we want to say we're the big boys now. You know, we're still a rookie. We still want to learn to work with humility. Come to talk to BT Sport anytime we are asked, and keep this, you know, feet on the ground attitude, help our riders, help the people around us, not inside the team, but around us a bit more, you know, to believe in our guys, because at some stage it was not always the case. And let's continue to work, continue to have fun, continue to enjoy, because this is what we love.
Thank you so much. You always do talk to us, and we're very grateful for that. You have a massive round of drinks to buy. You have a nice holiday to enjoy. Congratulations on a great first half of the
season. Thank you very much.
Well,
and I'm very proud to have been interviewed by James, who is still my hero. Thank you, all of you. Have a great holiday.
Well done. Take care. Well done. Well, everyone's hero today is Jonas Folger. He is on the podium. The German boy done good. Let's hear from him now.
Jonas, you do realise from Hamburg to Berlin to Munich, they're not talking about Marc Márquez, they're not talking about Valentino Rossi today, they're talking about you. How proud does that make you feel to have done it here in Sachsenring?
Well, I don't know what to say. I still don't believe that I'm on the podium, and I'm not just on the podium, but I was fighting with Marc for the victory, and I was leading the race for some laps. So it shows that we have a great speed, and we did a great job this weekend. And it feels really good that I not just made the podium, but also today I was really, really faster than Johan. He did already many, many good races, and today was the day I beat him. So yeah, it's a great feeling, and to do this at home, really, I wouldn't believe before the race.
You almost didn't make it to turn four, though, did you, on that first lap when you had to run across the grass or the edge of the curb almost going through?
Yeah. You can.
What was that? What happened there?
Pedrucci, I think it was Pedrucci. He was touching me quite hard. He tried to overtake where was no space to overtake. But at the end, I was lucky. I could save the accident, and then I could build up the rhythm quite quick.
I remember you as a 12-year-old kid, a little blonde kid in the academy starting out. And since then, you've had some tough times, some low moments with your illness that you had as well, and you missed races, these kinds of things. Do you ever imagine that you'd be in this position, battling the best in the world?
No, never, to be honest. As you said, I was going through many up and downs and almost finished riding in 2011, and now I'm here. So I can't thank enough all the people that were pushing me after my bad time in the GP forward again and believe in me. And especially Herve, that he took me, you know, and many people couldn't believe that he took me in the MotoGP. So, but I think he did the right choice.
I think there might be one or two beers sunk tonight around Germany. Congratulations, Jonas. Go and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Marc Marquez is now leading the championship by 5 points. What a turnaround in a season of incredible twists and turns. And I tell you something, the Honda boss, Livio Supa, who's with us now, must have had his heart in his mouth for so much of this season. But you can relax a little bit now, Livio, in the top spot heading into the break. Well done. Congratulations.
That's good. It's good. Thank you very much. It's very good to have this result, especially just before the summer break. Of course, it's better to go for 1 month without racing with good memories. Sure, it's a difficult championship. Sure, things can change very quickly, as we have seen in the last few races. But the important thing is that more or less we always are able to stay on top five, let's say. And so this is positive.
Incredible statistic from Mark's win today is just Honda's domination of this place. That's 5 wins in MotoGP from Mark on the Honda around this circuit on the bounce. What is it? What is the secret to the Honda around here?
I honestly don't think. I mean, I don't think anybody knows. It's very difficult to understand. For sure, we are lucky that the riders we have, they like this circuit, because is also something that you need, no? But for sure, it's a good combination. Our rider likes this circuit, and our bike suit this circuit very well. And we are happy to we should race here more often.
Yeah, I mean, actually, we shouldn't forget Dani Pedrosa, who's had 4 wins here in his career as well. Sensational stuff. How about Marc Marquez? What's his secret to this place? Is it just pure confidence?
Sure, he likes more the left circuit. This is characteristic, and probably again, as we said before, it's a mix between his feeling with the circuit and the bike suiting very well it, and then he's becoming unbeatable. Even if today Holger did a very good job and he had to work hard to stay in front of him.
I know Danny was not so close in the race with a tyre issue on spinning, but only 22 points behind the lead also. There's a real strong chance with the problems at the factory Yamaha boys that there could be a 1-2 this year, you think?
Well, it's very easy to, very early to speak about it, for sure. Also, Dani this season is very strong. In Argentina, he was super fast. He crashed, but he was super fast. And in Mugello, he was struggling, but without that crash, he was more points again. So it could have been even closer. But it's good for the fans, you know, to have a championship with so many riders able to fight for the title is something unbelievable.
And the second half of the season, some strong tracks for you as well?
For sure.
Are you wondering?
On paper. But this season, yes. For example, usually Jerez is very difficult for us, and this year we were very strong. In Mugello last year, Mark almost won, and this year we're struggling. So let's wait and see. For sure, we have Michelin also has time to work on everything. We have a test in the middle of July, and then we will start again fully charged.
Well, go charge those batteries. You well deserve a charge up. It's been fantastic for you.
Thank
Congratulations
you
today. Well done.
Thanks very much.
Enjoy your holiday.
You.
We're going to hear from one of your younger chargers, Dani Pedrosa. Let's hear from him now.
Dani, congratulations on that podium. It looked a bit of a lonely ride out there. Tell us about what happened, because you just lost touch, didn't you, with the front two?
Yeah, it's true. I started very well. I had a very good opening lap, and I was very comfortable the first two laps. Actually, very good grip and just right behind Mark. So I said, okay, already the first lap was good. And then little by little, I started to feel a lot of spinning in the rear. But I didn't really care very much, because in this track you spin. So, but laps later, Folger came very fast. I tried to follow, but every time I tried to open the throttle, more spinning, and actually my pace was getting slower. Because I couldn't really lean the bike in the angle. So, unfortunately, I couldn't get the same performance on track today. And I could manage until the end, because at the end I had a lot of vibrations in the tire. I don't know why, but I could manage the attack from Viñales, who was trying to reduce the gap.
Go to the summer break now. for the second half of the season, do you feel you've got the kit, you've got the bike that you need to be closing that gap? Because you have closed effectively on the front four.
Yeah, I mean, still we have to work a little bit more in some areas of the bike to try to get a little better consistency, because sometimes we are very fast in one practice, then in the other practice, or depending on the conditions, is changing. So we'll try to work on have a good performance in hot or cold conditions to see if in this way we can be able to be in better performance anytime.
Danny, great to see you back up on the podium. Well done.
Thank you.
So many people would love to see that man win a world championship. Thoroughly deserves a clock ticking, no doubt about that, but what a quality rider. Now, himself and his teammate Marc Márquez were sandwiching Danilo Petrucci on the front row of the grid today. Danilo, of course, podium in Assen, and really felt it was time for him to get some race wins or continue the podiums at the very least. It didn't work out for him today. He finished in 12th position. Let's hear from him now.
Danilo, that looked like a difficult race. We saw you drop back. What was the story?
I don't know why. Since the warm-up lap, we changed the tire on the grid, and I felt since the warm-up lap a strange vibration on the left side. Then I thought the first lap, okay, it's I have to warm up more the tire, but more laps I did, and the situation came worse and worse and worse. Was very very difficult. After 7-8 laps, I began to have fear to crash. Especially, the feeling was like I had a trailer on my back, because since I go in with the bike, I felt the rear sliding, and with the throttle was incredibly difficult to open the throttle. From the data, we see strange sliding and spinning. We don't know why. It's a shame, because starting from the first row, we imagine, yeah, the podium was difficult today, but a top five finish was possible. But today, after 15 lap, was difficult even to finish the race. And we have to check the data. For sure, we know which is the problem, but we have to check.
Looking back, the first half of the season's finished now. There's been so many positives, though. You'll go into this summer break feeling positive, looking back, and I guess then looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, since Sunday, since this morning, I said, okay, this race, and then we go holiday. Now, if there are another 30 laps race, I want to do again, because I am very angry, because We work all the weekend, and then in the race we miss the most important thing of the weekend. But yeah, at the end, a race to forget. I cannot wait to jump again on my bike, and I wanted to go holiday, but now I want to go in Austria now.
No, I know the feeling. Listen, you enjoy your holiday. Get in that gym, get on your dirt bikes, whatever. And I want to see that Danilo Petrucci smile one more time.
Thank you, thank you. We'll see on the second part of the season. I want to be strong again and to finish this season in a positive way, like now.
Thanks, Danilo.
Thank you.
Looking at the last corner for a braking manoeuvre. Is he going to go at it? He cannot. Frankie Morbidelli cuts to the inside. It's going to be a run to the line. Oliveira is trying for it, but surely it's going to be Morbidelli. Morbidelli thwarts KTM, but into third place comes Bagnaia. Again on the podium. Superb stuff.
Yeah, again on the podium, and I'm delighted to say. Now with us, Pecco, congratulations. How are you? Are you well?
Thank you. I'm very happy.
Yeah, good race today. Do you enjoy it?
Very, very strong, because the pace was very difficult, and also the first group was so strong today. Also Corsi, because in this practice was every session has been very very fast. And for me, when I was seventh, was very difficult for me in the start, because the rear tire slide too much and was difficult to going fast. But when remaining 15 laps, maybe I was trying to push every laps more, and was able for me to keep Corsi and making this podium.
And such an important battle ahead of you for the bulk of that race when it came to the championship. You had a good view of that. You had good guys to chase, didn't you?
Yes, because this is my first third podium this year, and I'm very happy to beat Corsi. That that's not his first career. In the last lap, in the when I managed to lap, I overtake him like this, and it was difficult because he's so strong in the. When he, you need to overtake him, it's very difficult because he's so strong, and I'm very happy about that.
You've had 2 seconds and now a third. There's not been too many rookies in Moto2 coming from Moto3 to be so successful. What has made your move so quickly to Moto2?
Because I feel very comfortable with the bike, with the team, and every time we close more the gap with the first, and and nothing.
And you're sixth now in the championship from seventh.
I'm sixth, and I'm close to the fifth. That is Pasini, I think. And for my first year in Moto2, I think is good.
Yeah, fantastic.
Actually, Pasini may have a bit of a problem because Pasini was disqualified from Catalunya because there's some issue with his oil. So I'm not quite sure how the championship table looks. Should we have a little peek at it while where you're with us? This is how the championship now looks. So what we know, Franco Morbidelli has a decent lead on 174 points. But Pecco, you're up to fifth. Your holiday has just got an awful lot better. You thought you were in sixth, but now you're in fifth place. How are you feeling about that?
But why?
Because he had a problem with his oil in Catalonia and Barcelona.
Okay.
And they had to knock the result off him. Okay. So there you go. Hey, who cares about him? You're in fifth, my man.
Did you not know this information?
That's nice.
Know this information?
No.
Well, you see these here. You see this? See, this is Pasini's bike here. And in here, this was a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
Not legal.
Not legal.
The oil was not legal. This is petrol, but the oil was not legal.
So now I'm fifth in the championship.
Now you're fifth in the championship.
Nice.
You can have a better holiday now.
Yeah.
Not quite.
With a bigger smile.
Red diesel, but in the same kind of territory.
Yeah, it wasn't up gas, but you're not far off.
Look, have a great break. Congratulations.
Thank
you're
you
fifth
much.
In the championship. And really good to speak to you today. Congratulations.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you very
all
much.
The best. See you, Pecco. See you, my man. Take care.
See
all
you
the
next
best.
Time.
Right, Keith and Jules. They've had a great first half of the season. What are your thoughts, lads, after round 9?
Still smiling at that, I've got to say. Only you, Craig. Only you trying to explain it. I'm so proud that Pecco didn't know that he was elevated from sixth to fifth place. But only one place for Pasini lost. That's a technicality he's going to rue.
It is. A rostrum, a second place struck from the record. But Pecco Bagnaia, you know, everybody knows what a quality rider he is, Keith. And
you've been banging on about him since the first day you saw him.
Yeah,
so,
It absolutely for his precision, but for a rookie in Moto2 to be doing what he's doing, three rostrums.
Moto2 is looking really good at the moment. I mean, we've got some signings. Morbidelli is obviously going to MotoGP.
Yeah, next year, that's done and dusted. And that rostrum we saw this afternoon, we said it, didn't we, in commentary. You've got Oliveira and you've got Bagnaia. And you looked at that rostrum and thought, that rostrum's going to be a Moto Grand Prix rostrum in a few years' time.
And we got the Triumphs coming in 2019, which is a big deal for all of us, of course, back in the UK. And I think Triumph are going to bring an extra dimension to the whole thing when we get there as well. Moto2, it looked like it was almost a dead class at one point, but it's come back now.
Yeah, because we've had a bit of chassis difference this year. There was a speed up nearly on the rostrum today. KTM showing well. OK, Kalex is still the one, Keith, but I want to see the Triumphs.
Plenty to look forward to in Moto2, Craig. Can't wait.
Lots of highlights still coming your way and lots more chat to be had, particularly with Gavin Emmett. Gav, where are you?
I'm inside the LCR Honda Hospitality where Cal Crutchlow finished in 10th place today. And the fact I'm saying that, and I know what I'm supposed to expect from you here, because that looked tough. You were right there in the group at the start, but it just looked really tough to stay with them.
Probably the most disappointing race of the year for me. I've crashed out of races and been happier. But I'm glad it's over. I'm glad I can go to the summer break. But we had a tyre pressure problem in the front of the bike, and after three laps of the race, we were already way higher than what I've been in any race already this year. So 27 laps later, you can imagine that I've got to manage it. We have a warning on the dash, and it came on after three laps, so I had to slow down. I had to have fresh air. I had to ride alone, and that was it, or else you're not going to finish the race. And I nearly went down two or three times in them first laps, but I was quite confident that if I was... I made a pass on Valentino, and then he passed me back down the straight. But I'm quite confident if I would have been ahead of him there, I could have done my own rhythm and done my own pace. Because it seems that when I did my own pace in the middle, when I was alone, I was going as fast as what the leader was going. But I finished 10th and that's it. We live and learn. We never anticipated that tyre pressure. We should have before the start of the race, but we're a team and I've made mistakes before, and as a team we made a mistake today.
Well, Cal, I hope you can enjoy your summer break. Come back stronger for that second half. Cheers, Cal.
Cheers, thanks.
This is the last lap, last time they drop off the waterfall. It's down now towards the breaking point into turn 12. Mir is lining himself up in his camp. Fanati's on the outside. Mir goes to the front. Can he pull it down to the line? Is he going to take the two of them out and let Ramirez through? I wonder. No, he isn't. Really? Through the left hand, and now there's the last breaking point on the track. It's here for 13. Mir's got it sorted, surely. He's just got to drive up the hill, though. But look at Fanati. Fanati's got great drive. Will he be able to pull it to the line? I doubt it, because it's just here. Mir wins from Fanati from Ramirez. Ramirez gets it on the podium. What a fantastic finish to the Moto3 race.
Wow. How close were they? 0.2 of a second covered the top three over the line.
John, obviously very disappointing. We saw you crash out. Tell us what happened, because we couldn't tell exactly what it was.
Yeah, started the race. I was having quite a few issues with the rear already, but I kind of thought that might have been the case in the first laps. But I had a big high side and managed to save it, but came back on track in, like, I think 20th position or something like that. So didn't feel as if I was doing anything that wrong. I was just kind of making my way through, managed to make a couple of passes, and seeing there was a huge group there, so I thought, okay, great, the end of the race, we'll be able to make our way through. But the rear wasn't really coming any better, so I was trying to push more in the corner entry, and my mistake, lost the front in the last corner. So yeah, really disappointed, but I guess these things happen. We'll learn from it, and look forward to, after the summer break, coming back even stronger.
Yeah, how was your hand as well? You've hurt your hand, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't know if I've got, maybe broke my finger, but it's thankfully we've got the couple of weeks off now, so plenty of time to recover.
All right, listen, you enjoy the rest, and we'll see you after the break.
Cheers.
Yeah, I feel sorry for John, because anytime he seems to get a bit of momentum, something happens and stops it. We just love to see him get a run, a really good long run, JT.
Yeah, it's his consistency that's the issue, isn't it? When he's on the pace, he's right up there with a couple of podiums that he's had. But yeah, it has been a bit frustrating. I mean, to see him down in there and then lose the front in over 20th place with a mistake. I think the team need to work in a smaller bubble for me. They seem to be working in a massive scope, a circle with that bike, and they need to narrow it down to be a little bit more consistent for him.
Just searching for too much in the settings?
I think with the I've talked to him a few times, and with the changes they're making, they're huge, like big offset changes and head angle and all these kind of things. When you're on the podium, that should be much more narrower than that for me.
The problem with that is, when the bike's changing, you never know it 100%, because you're actually relearning it. You watch someone like Mir, He can have fun. He can put that bike wherever he wants. He never looks like he's going to crash. That's the difference when you don't make big changes.
What have you made of this championship so far in the first half of the season? A quick overview.
Just incredible. MotoGP, we've never seen anything like it. Again, watching the race, I'm more interested, it might sound bizarre, of the lap times of the whole field, and you're watching the whole field spread by a second. You're watching people battling for 17th place that are, on some laps, as quick as the leaders. We've never seen that, and that's why the championship's so healthy, with five manufacturers, all these different winners, and obviously the championship being really close.
Well, let's just catch up on the Moto3 championship and how it stands. And well, it's a 37-point lead for that young man. Really dominating as we go into the second part of it. He's the man to beat. He's got a target on his back, but they're going to have to start chasing him down really, really soon, because he just looks so, so steady. He's just got to keep bagging the points, and it could well be his. Similar situation, I guess, in Moto2 with Franco Morbidelli, a 37-point lead. It's such a lovely way to go into the break, isn't it? It just gives you such confidence, JT.
Yeah, Johan Mir's win there was five wins and 37 points in the lead going into the break. Same as Moto2, 37 lead for Morbidelli. That's a huge gap now with only 9 races to go. If they just finish on the podium, they don't need to win races. And even after half a dozen races, they're still going to be in the lead of this championship.
OK, we're going to reflect again briefly on the world of MotoGP and some of the British riders. We heard from Cal Crutchlow, not a great day for him. He finished in 10th place. Even worse for Scott Redding. He did well here last year in the wet, finished 20th today. And you know something, he'll be watching his back a little bit. What is the mood in that team? He's not getting the results they want. He could have a difficult break. Let's hear from him now.
Scott, that looked like a difficult day in the office. I saw a lot of the Ducatis dropping back. What was it like out there?
Awful, if I'm honest. I just, no feeling again. This morning I thought, okay, not bad, feel quite good, felt comfortable. went into the race, first couple of laps, I sort of pushed forward a bit, but I didn't find any grip from the tyre. That's why the lap time didn't really change, and I just struggled all the way through the race, start to finish, and yeah, I have nothing really to say. I'm just disappointed, really.
I mean, obviously, you've been riding the bike for a while now. What is it, do you think? Is it a setting issue, do you think?
I don't know. The thing is, one minute it's okay, next minute it's not okay. And like, look to the rain. In Assen, we was one of the fastest. We come here, we was one of the slowest. This morning, I had really good rhythm, and now, you know, I'm a minute behind. It's the worst race of my career, you know. So I don't really know where to go from here, but I'm really disappointed with myself and with the bike.
We've got the summer break coming up. What can you do to turn things around for the second half of the season? Because we know how important it's going to be for you.
Yeah, I don't know, really. I think maybe decisions will be made before that. I don't know, really, what to change. Because we could come to the next race and maybe it's better, maybe it's the same, maybe it's worse. And that's the problem we have. We don't really know. There's no real consistency, so I'm kind of frustrated because I expected a bit more this year, but all it seems to be doing is getting worse for me for some reasons.
And at this point, are you worried about your future? What's going on in your head?
I wouldn't say I'm worried, because if it's the end of it, it's the end. I can't really change that so much, but performance isn't really helping me at all, I know that. And I find it hard to keep trying to fight from where I think I should be. I'm always trying to fight to be there. It's never like, okay, we achieve it, and it just gets harder and harder. So it's hard to keep picking yourself up, and I keep doing it, but I've been doing it for a few years now, and it starts to wear you out.
Well, listen, thanks for being so honest. I really appreciate it. I know it's difficult. Have a good rest, and we'll see you at the second half of the season. Good luck, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks. And looking back now, that's the end of the first half of the season. It looks like you've really got the hang of the MotoGP back. Like you said, your race times were right there, like literally inside a second of the fastest guys. What's been the hardest part of this first half of the season?
Yeah, obviously getting used to the MotoGP. The certain situations have been tough, so you know, it's nice to go and have the summer break. I feel like now I'm riding the bike in a good way, not so far off my teammate who's doing a good job, so it's really positive. And now I know how to ride the bike, and I feel like I understand it a lot more. There's still some little things I have to improve, but you know, the summer break has come at a good time, and I'm looking forward already for Brno, which is a track that I love, and I'll definitely work hard these few weeks.
We know there's a few weeks off. A lot of talk about contracts before. Has Aprilia said anything to you? Or has anything changed on that front?
I'm not too sure, really. I've got a 2-year contract, and I don't know what else there is to say about that.
Yeah. So as far as you're concerned, obviously you'd be riding for Aprilia next year?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm a rookie in MotoGP. The last few races, I've not exactly been riding around at the back. I've been showing potential. I'm going forward. I'm doing an okay job, so yeah, why not?
Why not? I agree. Anyway, Sam, enjoy your rest, and we'll see you for the rest of the year.
Cheers, thank you.
Sam's right, and what confirms that is that conversation we had with Hervé Poncharal earlier. He's got two MotoGP rookies. Sometimes you need to put an arm around their shoulder and good things will happen. Sam needs an arm around his shoulder now. He doesn't need to be worried or threatened or worried about his future with the team. He needs just someone saying, it's going to be okay, you're a rookie, learn your trade.
It's not easy with the Italians, though, is it? With the Ducati or with Aprilia, they build a bike that they expect to do well, and it's a little bit frostier than the French guy of Hervé Poncharal. I know that firsthand, and I know Neil does, and I know he's not getting that treatment at the moment. They have discussed other riders, Cal Crutchlow being one of them, to replace him, and we know that's because that's out there. And if they do that, then obviously Sam knows that they're not respecting what he's doing.
Quick word on Scott Redding. He feels a decision will be made during the break. What do you think that decision might be?
Well, that was a painful interview to watch, wasn't it? I did it. But yeah, it's not looking good. That's all I can say. I don't, you know, it's not looking good for his future in MotoGP.
Really, you think that's...
Yeah, well, I do. Honestly, you know, the bits of rumours and all that lot. Look, the music's going to stop and there's going to be no chair for him to sit down on. That's what it's looking like.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's how tough it is, though. That's how competitive it is.
And how old is he?
Yeah, 25, 6.
Exactly, yeah. It's, you know, these young kids are coming so early now that, you know, you can find your career, you know, out of it at such a young age.
So that's it from Germany. We'll be back in 4 weeks' time now after the paddock takes a summer break. That's from Brno in the Czech Republic. Enjoy your summer and we'll speak to you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.